For Tuesday, September 28th, it's the early word from the WNYC newsroom. Hello, I'm Lance Lucky, in for Isaac Davey Aronson with a look at this morning's top news stories, the day ahead, and reporting highlights from the WNYC news team. Coming up, Bob Henley tells us how Democratic candidate for governor Andrew Cuomo tried to engage African-American voters in Harlem with mixed results. And Elsa Chang discovers the fate of some cheap, discarded umbrellas. We'll start with this morning's top headlines just ahead.
The Early Word is a production of WNYC Radio. You can support this podcast by making a donation at WNYC.org, where you can also get the latest updates on this morning's headlines on the news page.
Pakistan is strongly protesting two NATO helicopter strikes that killed 50 militants, saying UN rules don't allow the choppers to cross into its airspace, even in hot pursuit. NATO says it responded to an insurgent attack on an Afghan security post near the border. The anticipated power transfer in North Korea became more public today, just ahead of the isolated country's biggest leadership gathering in 30 years. Current leader Kim Jong-il's youngest son, Kim Jong-un, believed to be in his late 20s, was named a general in the Korea People's Army, along with five others. The 68-year-old Kim Jong-il is believed to be in failing health. President Obama says public school students should have a longer school year since they're falling behind students elsewhere in the world, especially in math and science. The president also said low-performing teachers who are offered help and don't improve should be removed. And in New York yesterday, Mayor Bloomberg unveiled an education initiative of his own. The City University of New York and IBM will open a new high school that runs from grade 9 through 14. The program will emphasize traditional subjects and computer science and will allow students to earn an associate's degree. Bloomberg also called for an end to the last hired, first fired seniority rule for teachers.
Teachers and principals are professionals. They deserve to be paid like professionals, treated like professionals, and evaluated like professionals. But for too long, the tenure evaluation process for both principals and teachers has been a formality, a rubber stamp.
Speaking on NBC, Bloomberg also said the city is trying to improve its teachers. City officials say they want to clean up the polluted Newtown Creek as quickly as possible, but it could take years before the four-mile-long waterway is restored enough to allow swimming and fishing. And that worries a group that represents businesses located near Newtown Creek. Leah Archibald heads the East Williamsburg Valley Industrial Development Corporation. She says the long cleanup process will leave many nearby businesses in limbo.
It's going to be difficult for businesses to attract capital to engage in renovation or expansion. And it's going to be difficult for people to sell their properties. If somebody's at a point of retiring, that's going to be hard for them.
Archibald says there are about 75 industrial businesses on the Brooklyn side of the creek alone. Many of them are family-owned, having been passed down through generations. Yesterday, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency placed Newtown Creek on its national list of Superfund cleanup sites. Transit officials plan to install thousands of new intercoms in subway stations over the next 2 years. WNYC's Matthew Sherman reports that they'll be hard to miss on the platforms.
The head of New York City Transit, Tom Prendergast, says the new intercoms weren't planned as replacement for the 460 station agents who have been laid off. For one, he said the intercoms will be much more ubiquitous than agents ever were, spread out along train platforms, as well as in passageways and outside turnstiles. But he admits the planning effort intensified in the last 3 or 4 months after strap hangers found it hard to get information in stations. The new intercoms, called Help Point Intercom, will be more visible than the old pocketbook-sized ones. They'll be located in 6-foot-tall columns that are tinged with blue. Prototypes will be tested later this year in a couple of stations on Manhattan's east side. For WNYC, I'm Matthew Sherman.
Hundreds of auditors and investigators are taking part in a conference today aimed at rooting out fraud in city government. One of the hosts is City Controller John Liu, whose office just uncovered 14 cases of pension fraud in which benefits were paid to deceased city workers between 2007 and 2009. Liu says it's totally unacceptable.
We cannot afford to waste money for any reason, especially if it's because of fraud.
Liu says almost $500,000 in pension benefits were drawn by parties who were not the deceased and weren't entitled to the money. The cases have been turned over to the city's Department of Investigation for possible criminal charges. Taking a look at the calendar for this Tuesday, Secretary of State Clinton, Defense Secretary Gates, and Treasury Secretary Geithner address the U.S. Global Leadership Coalition Conference. The group calls itself a broad-based network of 400 businesses and NGOs, national security and foreign policy experts, and business, faith-based, academic, and community leaders. And there's a hearing of the Congressional Joint Economic Committee to look at new evidence on the gender pay gap for women and mothers in management. And a couple of economic reports out today, the S&P Case-Shiller Index of Home Prices for July, and the Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Index. Just a few things happening this Tuesday. For New York State Democrats, engaging African-American voters is critical to winning the governor's mansion in November. Yesterday, Attorney General Andrew Cuomo was trying to do just that when he visited Harlem. But as WNYC's Bob Henley reports, the results were mixed.
Cuomo first stopped in 125th Street to shake hands with subway riders and was en route to a meeting with Harlem's power brokers when he was greeted by a group that had another candidate in mind.
Freedom Party.
Those are supporters of Councilman Charles Barron, who's running for governor with the newly created Freedom Party. Cuomo moved on to a closed-door meeting with Congressman Charles Rangel and former state controller Carl McCall, along with several others. Afterwards, Hazel Dukes with the NAACP took aim at Carl Paladino for his campaign platform and his emails that depicted President Obama as a pimp and the First Lady as a prostitute.
There's no place for racism in this country and in this state.
Cuomo declined to call Paladino a racist, but when pressed by reporters, he repeatedly described his opponent as an extremist.
I think Mr. Paladino's position where he would redeploy the state police, send them to New York City to arrest illegal immigrants, I believe that's an extremist position.
Cuomo said that in the next few days, he'd outline an urban agenda. Meanwhile, in Brooklyn, City Councilman Charles Barron was laying out his Freedom Party platform, which includes free mass transit and abolishing the MTA. Barron says that when it comes to policy, Cuomo and Paladino are both calling for cuts to services rather than raise taxes on the state's wealthiest households.
We're not going to we have to vote for the lesser of two evils. We're not voting for any evil anymore.
While Cuomo was struggling to pull together his base, Paladino got a break consolidating his. Paladino's primary rival, Rick Lazio, decided against running for governor on the conservative line. Since the 1970s, Republicans have needed the conservative party line to win statewide office. For WNYC, I'm Bob Henley.
With rain likely today, some less prepared New Yorkers may have to seek out those sidewalk sellers of super cheap umbrellas, some of which will soon end up in the trash after a strong gust of wind. WNYC's Elsa Chang reports on where that little umbrella might eventually end up.
That little umbrella's life certainly does not end in that corner trash basket.
The vast majority of these cheap umbrellas end up in landfills. We pay taxes to export our waste, most of it, to Pennsylvania, Virginia, Ohio, South Carolina.
That's Eric Goldstein. He's an environmentalist with the Natural Resources Defense Council. Goldstein has a message to this pedestrian-heavy city. You get what you pay for, so buy durable umbrellas that won't litter our streets and gutters after one rainstorm. He estimates hundreds of thousands of umbrellas make their way into landfills after every single storm. But there are a few hundred umbrellas each year that end up somewhere else. They end up under Catherine Charlot's sewing machine. She's got a small fashion studio in Brooklyn called Imani. Before Charlot will notice your new outfit, your expensive handbag, or your cute haircut, she'll be checking out your umbrella. She's spent 8 years scouring the streets of New York for discarded umbrellas.
Any umbrella. Anyone. I don't care about color. I have a ton of blacks, of course, because you find more blacks in the street than anything.
She goes out with a shopping cart and scissors, stripping away the slippery, light pieces of fabric from their metal skeletons. And then she transforms them into waterproof tote bags, wallets, doggy outfits, little black cocktail dresses, and even wedding dresses, like this little poof skirt number made out of 15 white umbrellas.
I wanted something really chic, nice. Three layers. You have the umbrellas, you have the knit, and you have 100% cotton underneath, and I get this beautiful strapless dress.
After one huge rainstorm in March, Charlot collected 237 umbrellas on the streets of Brooklyn in a single week. To store her rainy day stash, she has a whole separate room down the hall from her studio.
All of them are umbrellas, like people sent me that I collected, all those bags in here. In total, the last time I counted a couple weeks ago, it was 457.
Charlot's a native Haitian who's appalled by what people here throw away. She can turn nearly anything into fashion accessories. Yoga mats become homemade laptop bags. Sports bar wrappers accent tote bags. Chopsticks help structure purses and outfits. Her dresses sell from $1 to $500 in local shops, and tote bags are about $40.
The whole purpose is just you're taking something that was something else and turn it into a new life. It's just like you're giving that piece of item a second life.
As I left her studio, she grabbed my umbrella, a bright yellow full-length one that opens up into a sunflower. She carefully stroked the fabric and said, "You know where to find me when this breaks." For WNYC, I'm Elsa Chang.
To see images of some of Catherine Charlot's creations, go to WNYC.org. We'll wrap it up with your gig alert. Deer Hunter is an Atlanta-based band that rose to indie fame earlier this decade thanks to their noisy guitars and post-punk songcraft. Deer Hunter is releasing its fourth album, Halcyon Days, and it has a different, sunnier sound. This song is called Revival. And you can catch Deer Hunter playing it tonight at the Apple Store in Soho. You can download this and more songs by visiting our culture page. Just click culture at WNYC.org. You can learn more about all the stories you heard here, download more podcasts, and go in depth with our reporters on the news blog. That's all at our website, WNYC.org. You can hear us there 24 hours a day, as well as on the air, at 93.9 FM and AM 820. From the WNYC Newsroom, I'm Lance Lucky. Have a great Tuesday.